Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Brody Marks, are you well and good this afternoon?
Good, thanks, and yourself?
No, we are most good, thank you very much. Lots of interesting news coming out of Israel. Beautiful article this afternoon, Rolene, about the Iranian judoka.
Isn't it stunning? Saeed Mualeh, who was forced to defect from Iran because he did not want to forfeit his match with Sagi Mukhi, has dedicated his silver medal to Israel. He says for all the positivity and all the love that he is receiving from the state of Israel. And he is now living in Mongolia and fighting under the Mongolian flag. So, kol hakavod le Saeed, we are all super duper proud of you. What you didn't count on was getting so many Jewish mothers and fathers.
I'm sure. And just before we get onto the day's news, because of you, I went and I Googled last night, first flight LL to Morocco. And I got to tell you, I was goosebumped all over the place when I heard the Israeli pilot talk about flight Khamsa from Tel Aviv to Casablanca. I just went cold all over. It was really quite
well,
something.
For anyone who doesn't know what Khamsa is, it's actually Mizrahi. It comes from Morocco, comes from that area. Khamsa is warding off the evil eye. In fact, if you speak to a Moroccan Israeli and you're talking about something maybe that could be deemed quite controversial or hurtful, they'll go, Khamsa.
Really, Rolene? So it wasn't arbitrary that the flight number was flight 555. They chose that specifically?
Absolutely. Everything that we do here has meaning.
Absolutely amazing. Okay, now let's talk about the Knesset. Apparently with a drama, Ben Gvir booted out.
Ben Gvir was booted out. He proceeded to call the chairman of the joint list, Ahmed Tibi, who we know is not exactly pro-Israel, but he is part of the government. So, sorry, Omar Shakir and Human Rights Watch, we don't seem to be fitting your definition of apartheid state, but he was chairing a discussion and a debate on coronavirus restrictions. And Itamar Ben-Gvir, he's from the far right, proceeded to interrupt him and call him a terrorist. And he was booted out quite strongly by other members of the Knesset. Tibi ordered the Knesset guard to come in to remove him from the podium, and that is exactly what happened.
Okay, interesting that you have an Arab chair of a committee throwing out a far-right Israeli politician. Certainly not boring stuff in Israel. Let's talk Unilever and Ben & Jerry's. What are the developments?
Well, let's talk about that because it looks like five U.S. states have put Ben & Jerry's and Unilever on warning, on notice for the announcement coming in from Ben & Jerry's last week that they intend on not selling their ice cream to what they are calling the occupied Palestinian territories. And this, of course, contravenes a number of anti-BDS laws enacted in over 30 U.S. states. So Texas, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and Florida have said that not only are they investigating the situation around this, but they will also be divesting their massive, massive pension funds from Unilever, which could force Unilever to lose a massive, massive amount of money. Also, very interesting, It has been exposed by NGO Monitor, one of their lawyers, Eugene Kantorovich. He has exposed just exactly how Ben & Jerry's came to this decision. Guess who they were advised, in inverted commas, by? One, Omar Shakir. Who is Omar Shakir? I hear you all asking. No, seriously, I do, because some of you are actually messaging me. Omar Shakir is a BDS activist. He was the director of Human Rights Watch Israel Palestine, still is, based in Israel, and was booted out of the country for contravening our anti-BDS laws, but he has been advising the Ben and Jerry board. Not only has he been doing that, but he has been the one who instigated the crossing the threshold supposed findings that Israel is an apartheid state, and being published tomorrow is Human Rights Watch's their assessment of what happened in May. Of course, it only deals with Israel being bad, bad Israel, Israel killing Palestinians. It hasn't, to our knowledge, and looking at the previews coming in, dealt with any pain, any death, any harm inflicted, any intentions on Israeli citizens, or the shortfalling of rockets in Gaza. This is according to the previews we have seen so far. Hopefully I am wrong, and they have a more balanced assessment.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hold my breath. Your COVID stats, again, still concerning?
Concerning. We have seen a surge over the last, I'd say, 48 hours. This is largely attributed to the Delta variant, and also to still a big swath of the population that has not been vaccinated. And it has been announced today that not only are we going to start vaccinating immunocompromised children from the age of 5 up, that you can read more about on R24 News, but also that we are probably going to start rolling out a third booster shot. It hasn't been discussed or confirmed or made public which sector of the population we will start with.
Ro, we've got a couple of moments left. Issue I'd love to chat to you about is that of Jordan. Would I be correct in my reading that it seems as if there is an improvement in Israeli-Jordanian relations?
Well, it looks that way. We had King Abdullah, he's the Jordanian king, on CNN over the weekend saying that he feels very encouraged after having discussions with both our defense minister, Benny Gantz, and our Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. He says that it's encouraging to him, and you know, he looks at the benefits that it could bring, not just to the two countries, but to the region as well, and also expressing his concern about Iran. So we are hearing it from the Jordanians now as well, which is very, very significant. And I know that there is an op-ed in the Jerusalem Post today saying, you know, some conversations between high-level Israelis and the Palestinian authorities does not peacemake. No, it doesn't, but it does go a long way to opening up those vital channels of communication, and it does go a long way to ensuring that we can start making overtures towards each other about discussing peace.
And Jordan having gone quite public, Rolene, with the fact that they've arrested some ISIS members who were planning attacks. Again,
yes,
I don't think
have.
You would have seen that a month or two ago.
Well, we definitely see a shifting sand in the Middle East, and it's quite interesting because I've been hearing opinions from all sides. Some people, you know, more hard right, who perhaps have been part of the Yamina constituency, saying, you know, Naftali Bennett's not as hard right as he was. They're quite disappointed. You know, others saying they didn't expect Naftali Bennett to be so conciliatory a prime minister. But you know, I think that we always have to separate party leaders from heads of state, and although many don't. And I think when you take on the role as Prime Minister of Israel, it's really an opportunity to prove yourself somebody that doesn't just have the concerns of your people at heart, but also of the greater region.
And then just because it's just niggling me, has he moved out of Ra'anana to Jerusalem yet or still not?
He has. A while ago, the moving trucks came in and moved.
Rolene Marks, thanks for the updates as always, and I look forward to tomorrow.
Ditto, maybe with a dish of ice cream.